On our website, we have a list of the scriptures that are pertaining to baptism. And we need to understand when we look at these that you don't learn everything you need to know about any one topic from any one certain place in Scripture. You have to take all of God's Word and form your teachings on that. Everything that you hear or read about a certain topic is the truth. And you put them all together to assemble your overall doctrine. That way your teaching and your belief and your practice encompass everything that the Word of God says about it. And this morning in class, we're going to look at the scriptures pertaining to baptism. And we will go through them as much as possible. Let's see, I need to get a... if I can find a Bible here. I took all of these from the King James Version. And again, this is posted up on our website under the reference section. If you want to turn to Matthew 28:19, that's actually going to be the subject of our sermon this morning, the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18. I don't know if we'll have time to go through all of these in this period or not. Matthew 28:18 and 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Baptism is commanded. It's a command. We are commanded to baptize other people. And if you will look on down that, it says the command to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And we will talk about that at length in our sermon this morning. That's in the name of what we baptize people in. In fact, the Bible says that whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So baptism and prayer and all of the things that we do are in His name. Baptism is urgent. In speaking of the account of the eunuch, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. This is in Acts 8:36. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And in Acts 22:16, Ananias asked Saul, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." In every account of baptism in the New Testament, it was done immediately upon when the convert realized that that was something that was necessary. They didn't wait. They did it right then. It was not something... go ahead, C.L.
One here.
Well, and he did. And I have had a lot of discussions with people that say that baptism is not a command. Well, it is a command. It's Jesus Christ commanded us to go baptize all nations. At the conversion of Cornelius in Acts 10, whenever Cornelius and those realized what needed to be done, when the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they realized that something needed to be done, Peter commanded them to be baptized. It is a command. Go ahead.
When Christ appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, he told him to go on in, and he'd be told him.
Exactly.
And what did they tell him to do?
It will be told you what you should do. And then Ananias did that. That's right. And that's in Acts 22:16. Said, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Okay, the next point in Acts 8:37. at the conversion of the eunuch. Baptism is accompanied by belief and confession of Jesus as the Son of God. In Acts 8:37, if you want to follow along, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And if you'll back up a little bit, it said that the eunuch said, "Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" He asked Philip, "What's keeping me from being baptized right now?" And in Acts 8:37, "And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you mayest." And the eunuch answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So we have an account there of a baptism, and before he was allowed to be baptized, Philip asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" Jesus as the Son of God. Go ahead.
Went
down into the water.
Out of the water.
That's right.
If there was a sprinkler or four, one of them could have walked down everybody's fingers wet or dipped a pitcher of water and need one of them.
Yes. They both went into the water. And then they both came up out of the water. So we know from that that baptism is an immersion in water, a burial. And we'll hear that a little bit later on in this list, I believe, if we have time to go all the way through it. Baptism is in the name of Jesus. In Acts 19:5, that's the account of the Ephesians who had been baptized by the baptism of John. And Paul had gone back and had baptized them correctly. That's in Acts 19. "And when they heard this," meaning the 12 Ephesians, "they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." And then, of course, you have the Great Commission that we're going to look at in the sermon today, baptizing them in the name of the Lord, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. So baptism is in the name of Jesus. Acts 2:38, very familiar verse that we refer to all the time. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." So we see here that another aspect of baptism is that it must be in the name of Jesus Christ. Baptism is also in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, which we just discussed. And that's in Matthew 28:19. Baptism is a burial with Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:12. If you want to turn to that, I'll give you all the time I can, but there's a whole bunch of these here and we're going to run out of time. Colossians 2:12, "Buried with Him," meaning Jesus, "in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead." So we learn right there that we are buried with Jesus in baptism. Jesus died and was put into the grave. We die to our old selves and go underneath the water. It's a figure that is representative of the death of Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
Verse 13 after 12. It said, "And when you were dead in your transgressions," whether it became Christians, "and uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive again together with Him, having forgiven you all your transgressions." So basically, a person that's in a lost condition, they're dead.
That's right.
And
what does alive again mean? It means born again. Alive again. You're born again. Before one is baptized, they are dead in their sins. And that's not David and CL or anybody else saying that. That's coming straight out of the Bible. "Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead." CL, do you want to read verse 13? I don't have it in my list here.
That's why I read it. "And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your faith, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven you all your transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of death, not that we owned a debt, consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he had taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross.
Absolutely. You know, it's hard to understand that any other way. That we are dead to our sin. We are dead in our sins, and then we are made alive through baptism. Let's see. My next reference on this same thing of baptism as a burial, Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with Him, meaning Jesus, by baptism into death. That like as Christ, that just like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's another term that alludes to that born again. Alive again, newness of life, born again. So those are all terms that are in association with baptism. You have a new life. Baptism is a resurrection with Christ from death. And let's see, that is Romans 6:4. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Colossians 3:1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then Colossians 2:12, wherein also ye are risen with Him, meaning Jesus, through the faith of the operation of God who raised Him from the dead. So we see that the baptism is a figure, a type, of the death of Jesus Christ. You are participating, in a way, with the death of Christ. You are buried with Him when you go under the water, when you're immersed, and then when you rise up out of the water, that's an important part of the baptism, is the immersion, is the rising up, because that is a type of the resurrection of Christ. When He arose from the dead, you yourself, when you're baptized, you are arising from your dead self, because you were dead in your sins. You, just like Christ arose, so do you. You arise from the waters of baptism, from the burial, from the grave, to walk in newness of life, to a new life. Baptism is how we put on Christ. Galatians 3:27, very familiar scripture. For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So baptism is how we put Christ on. Baptism is the way into Christ. Romans 6:3, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Galatians 3:27 again, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Did you know that there is not one other scripture in the Bible that I'm aware of that has any other way in addition to or anything else of how you get into Jesus Christ? Not one. I have never seen it. If it's there, somebody, and you know about it, show me where it's at. But as far as I know, that is the only way to get into a relationship with Christ, where you are born again, where you are put in the body of Christ. Baptism is the way into Christ. It's the only way mentioned in Scripture. Baptism is for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Acts 22:16, that we've already talked about, was Paul's conversion. And these are the words of Ananias. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16. Baptism is when we are justified from sin. We were buried therefore with Him through baptism unto death. And this is Romans 6 through 7. And I'm reading this from the American Standard Version. That like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that so we should no longer be in the bondage of sin. For he that died, that hath died, meaning in the waters of baptism, to his old life, is justified from sin. Go ahead.
In Colossians chapter 3, we got those in chapter 2 already, the verses of chapter 3. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory.
For ye have died. So we have died to our old selves.
Now your life is in Christ.
Now your life is in Christ. Baptism is a washing. Be baptized and wash away thy sins. Acts 22:16. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:22. In Titus 3:5, Paul writes, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. By the washing. There's that word regeneration. You can associate that with born again, with newness of life, alive again, regeneration, the washing of regeneration. The first time we're born, you can say that we're generated. When we're born again, we're regenerated. So that's another word that we associate with being born again, and it's an association with the washing, which is baptism. Baptism saves us. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And let's see, Acts 2:40-41. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day that were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And again, that's in Acts 2:40-41. The baptism saves us. They were added to the church. They were added to the company of the saved, or in one aspect, they were added to the kingdom of God, which is the spiritual kingdom of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure, speaking of the waters of the flood, even baptism doth also now save us. Baptism saves us. It's not the only thing that saves us, but that's one of them. Baptism is a request for a clean conscience. And let's go back to 1 Peter 3:21-22. And I'm reading this from the New American Standard Bible. It's an excellent translation. And corresponding to that, meaning the waters of the flood, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but an appeal. Whenever you are baptized, you're asking God, I want a clean conscience. It's an appeal. Baptism is a request. Baptism is calling on the name of the Lord. Acts 22:16, and now why tarriest thou? We've already read this 3 or 4 times. Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Baptism is how we crucify our old selves. Romans 6:6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Baptism is how we crucify our old sins. And remember earlier that those who have not been baptized are dead in their sins. Baptism frees us from sin. Romans 6:7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. And that's Romans 6:11 through 12, which is following what Jesus said about baptism in Romans 6:4. It's all in the same context. Baptism is an operation of God. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him, meaning Jesus, from the dead. Baptism is when we come into contact with Jesus' death. Romans 6:3, again, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. How did Jesus Christ die? He shed his blood. So if you're baptized into the death of someone who shed their blood, would that not put you into contact with that blood? If you're baptized into that death, that is where the forgiveness of sin comes from, is when we come into contact with the power of the blood of Christ. Not the literal blood, but the power of that. Go ahead, C.L.
All the sacrifices the Jews had to make, if they were having the sacrifices, it was the blood of the life that came in. They were told not to eat the blood, drink the blood.
The blood is the life.
Even in the New Testament, talked about this. And so the life thing is in the blood. Under the old law, we know that they took away the sin at that time, but they had to continue to keep doing it because that blood
right.
was so strong, so to speak. But Christ's blood was strong enough from then on for all time.
Christ was the perfect, sinless, willing sacrifice. His blood was way more effective than the blood of bulls and goats and animal sacrifices.
And in either case, if you don't come in contact with it, it doesn't do any good.
That's right.
If the Jews had to sacrifice their, like they're supposed to, then their sins would have just been filing. But, so under this, and thankfully, we don't have to continually.
That's right.
The blood, we can, now that we've done it, we can ask for forgiveness.
Yeah. Well, it's through baptism that we participate in Christ's sacrifice. Christ died. The people in the old law had to sacrifice all those animals, which never did ever completely take away their sin. It just their forgiveness was what you might call in prospect for whenever Jesus Christ gave his life. Jesus Christ died and shed his blood. He died on the cross. And how we participate in that death is through baptism. That's how we come into power and come into contact with his death, with the power of the blood that he shed. And that is through baptism. Romans 6:4. Baptism is when we start in a newness of life, meaning reborn. And we've gone over this. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And there's that allusion again to rebirth, regeneration, alive again, that we have looked at before. Baptism is a requirement to enter the kingdom of God. In John 3:5, Jesus was talking to a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was asking him some questions. And Jesus, in answer to one of those questions, said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He said that in accompaniment with, I believe it's in verse 3, I don't have it opened up to that right now, marvel not, ye must be born again. So born again, in the context of 3:5, is born of the water and of the Spirit. That's baptism. That's your born again. That's your born of the water and the Spirit. You're born again. You're alive again. Your newness of life. Regeneration. And it is a requirement in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. A lot of people in the world out there, what I call the denominational world, who claim Christ as their Savior, will tell you that you do not have to be baptized. But the Bible says you do. You must be born again. And you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Baptism is a submission to God's will. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Talking about Pentecost. And said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were penitent. They realized that they had made a horrible mistake in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. They wanted to know what they needed to do. In the account of the Philippian jailer, the conversion of the Philippian jailer in Acts 16:29, then he, meaning the jailer, called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Baptism is a submission. Baptism is done before one is added to the Lord's church. In Acts 2:41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. That's on Pentecost. And that same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then going on down to Acts 2:47, it reads, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Baptism is done before one is added to the Lord's church by God. Baptism is an immersion in water. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Here's what C.L. brought up a little while ago. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. This is the eunuch at his conversion. And they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Acts 8:38-39. In Acts 10:47, at the conversion of Cornelius, Peter says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? There is only one baptism. Ephesians 4:5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Just before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he commanded the disciples to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28:19. This is the baptism in water that can be administered by mankind to one another. This is the baptism commanded by God to be administered to all people on earth. This is the baptism that can be submitted to, can be obeyed. No other baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. No other baptism is the fulfillment of a command that man can obey. No other baptism can be the one baptism that we must submit to today. Acts 2:37-39. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That is important. Repent and be baptized every one of you. That's a command. every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and unto your children, and to all that are afar off. That is in fulfillment of the Great Commission. Now Peter had a little trouble with that. They had to go through the conversion of the Cornelius. But Peter here is saying, and to all them that are afar off, baptism is for everybody. For everybody living, every accountable person. I just ran out of scriptures. That was good timing. It's for everybody. So we need to keep in mind that when we consider the topic of baptism, it's not any one scripture that a person turns to and said, look here, this is baptism, and just ignore everything else. It's all of these scriptures taken into consideration. It is a burial. It is a resurrection. It is a rebirth, a regeneration. It's when we are forgiven of our sins. It's when we're put into Christ. It is necessary for entrance into the kingdom of God. It is a requirement. It is commanded. And it is in water. It is a full burial, immersion in water, and resurrection from that water to walk in a newness of life.